Thank you for joining us for the Words of Life broadcast. You may have questions about God's Word or your Christian life. Pastor Spencer would love to have the opportunity to answer your questions. You may send your questions by email to lspencer1146@gmail.com. Again, that's lspencer1146@gmail.com. Until next week at this same time, may God bless you.
For Jacob, the old patriarch, to die. He has reached the ripe old age of 147 years. His life has been eventful, not always good, but eventful to say the least. And there have been some difficult times, but also some blessed times as well. And before he leaves this world, he gathers his sons together around him. Now we've seen If we went through Genesis, you'd see where Joseph was sold into slavery and all the sorrow there. But now they're down into Egypt, and Jacob is about to die. He gathers his sons around them, and he addresses them in the light of their future and the future of their families. Now, their families are each going to become a tribe of Israel. And so when he gives these instructions or gives these prophecies to them, he's telling how their tribe will be, what's going to happen with them down in the future in the last days. So it's a reference to Israel's future and a personal reference to their future and their family's future. Then, of course, these detailed prophecies come to pass exactly as he gives them. Prophecy, fulfilled prophecy, is one of the greatest evidences and proofs of the inspiration of God's Word. And this, is, of course, is very accurate. Well, you say, well, how did he know all these things? Well, God told him. God told him exactly what to say. So I don't have time to go through all 12 of his sons, but I'll give you a quick overview, and we can kind of divide them into some categories here. Basically, three groups. Some were disqualified from blessings. They were disqualified because of their sin. Some were destined to judgment and not to blessing. Among these, Reuben, the oldest, Simeon, Levi, and the tribe of Dan. And then some were distinguished and they were blessed. Some were destined to be blessings, to have blessings down the road. God would elevate these other tribes to more prominence in the future of Israel. Some of those, like Judah, you hear much about Judah in the scriptures. Zebulun, Issachar, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, and of course Benjamin, all of these. And then there was one person, one of his sons, that was singled out for particular blessing. He stood far and above the rest of them. He was set apart to receive those special blessings. Joseph was given the place of the firstborn. Even though he was the 11th son, he was given the place of the firstborn. We'll explain a little bit of that in a few moments. And he received a double portion. The firstborn always was given a double portion of the inheritance. Joseph is the one received that. He received it in that he didn't receive it. He was off the scene before the tribes spread out in the land of Canaan. But his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, both of them became a tribe. So in his two sons, they both received a full inheritance, which gave Joseph double inheritance. We'll focus on some of these sons, and I don't have time for all of them, but he gathers them together. Now remember that, notice what he says here, gather yourselves together and hear ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Now he says, you're sons of Jacob. Now listen to me, I'm Israel. Now he uses his birth name, Jacob, which meant heel grabber or a trickster, a supplanter, someone who was devious, you see. And he identifies his sons with that name. Here's what he's saying. You're my sons, other than Joseph, of course. You're of the flesh. You've lived after the flesh for the most part. And you have lived like I did early in my life as a man geared to the flesh. Jacob was like that. Jacob was always out to better himself, and he didn't care who he had to step on to do that, you see. He was trying to gain the advantage over others all the time. Then one night, Jacob met the Master. My, what a change. I was reading this yesterday, almost had a Baptist happy fit, because I remember when I got saved, and my life completely changed, you see. His name was changed too. He became Israel. He was no longer called Jacob, you see, because now he is God's representative as Israel, Prince of God. No longer was he to be known for his larceny and his lies. He would now be known by his godly character. He would be known for his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he calls his sons, he's saying, you're much like I was. He tells them they were living in the flesh and sinful. And he says, you've got a sin nature to have to overcome. You've got a sin problem in your life. There's a common thread that runs through all of us. We all have the same problem. We have a sin problem. You say, but preacher, I'm saved. I don't have a sin problem anymore. Oh, yes, you do. You still got that old nature. If you don't think so, you ask your husband or wife, whichever one. You ask your kids if you do things wrong. You've still got that old nature, folks. We battle that all the time. I want to take a few minutes, and I want us to look at these three categories. We have a man in these sons who covered his sin. We have men who were controlled by their sin. And then we have a man who confessed his sin. And these examples give us some valuable lessons. So first, Jacob addresses his oldest son, Reuben. And in chapter 49, verse 3 and 4, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Then he says, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. You say, what happened there? We have to go back to Genesis 35, verse 22 for that. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. And all these years following, now finally he's gathered them to tell him of blessings and judgments and so on just before he died. And he reveals this sin. I wonder how Reuben felt. When Reuben's standing there, and for 40 years probably, he's standing there thinking, nobody knows about this. He never knew about it. And then he finds out suddenly that his father knew it all the time, all those years. And here we have a problem. Reuben committed this sin. He never sought reconciliation with Jacob. He never sought confession to Jacob or to God, and never sought reconciliation. He continued just like nothing had ever happened. And I don't care who you are, whether you're an unsaved person, never received Christ, or a believer, when you sin, you've got to stop right there and deal with it, because folks, you can't go on like nothing happened. Because all of a sudden, there's something there that's getting in the way of your prayer life. That's getting in the way of your obedience to God. And it's got to be confessed. Imagine Reuben's surprise to find that his father knew this all the time. And Reuben had kept it. He thought he kept it a secret all this time and had escaped the consequences. You know, the psalmist talks about that. I found it an interesting verse in Psalm chapter 10, verse 11. The psalmist is speaking as if he is a person, an unsaved person, or even a Christian who's not living for Christ. In verse 11, he says, he hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He, God, hideth his face. He will never see it. So this person is saying, I'm living as if God has a bad memory. God is too afraid to bring it up. And God is a fraud because he won't deal with it. Oh, I've got news for you. God does deal with it. Reuben must have been absolutely stunned when Jacob revealed this. Thought he'd gotten away with something. There are a lot of Christians that are going to be stunned when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. I think there are a lot of unsaved people who are going to be absolutely stunned when they stand before the great white throne judgment. They thought they were doing just fine, living a nice life, being kind, sweet, never speaking a bad word about somebody, and never having put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, never having trusted Christ. And Christians, so many Christians who get saved and think, okay, that's settled now. Now I can go on and live my life the way I want to. And I've got news for you, folks. When I was a child, I didn't get to live the way the neighbors did. And I remember being told, that's because they're not my children, but you are. And you're not going to live that way. Christian, you can't get away with it. Young fella got mad at his sister. Really mad at her. She had this little doll that was one of these rag dolls. And they, you know how they fill? They fill those with seed. I guess, I don't know, grass seed or some sort of seed. He got mad at her. So he took her doll. And then when she noticed it was missing, she got mom and dad in the picture. He even had to help. Mom and dad said, let's find her doll. He's walking around the house looking, not here, not here. He knew where it was because he had taken it out in the backyard and buried it. Come spring, she came into the house crying, and she got her dad, took him out in the yard. As soon as her dad got out there, he looked down and he called the boy by name, and it was not one of these calls that, son, come here. It was one of these solid calls that said, God, son, get out here now. And you could look down at the grass and you could see in the tall grass the beautiful outline of a rag doll. He thought he'd have gotten away with all of it. But I'm guaranteeing you, folks, sin will catch up with us if it is not confessed. Jacob compares Reuben to water. He says, you're unstable. Water will always seek the easiest path. And if you look at things in Reuben's life that we see that he did. He took the easy path. When water is subjected to heat, it boils. When it's subjected to cold, it freezes. If you just leave it alone, it'll evaporate, you see. Water is just pretty much whatever is acting upon it. And that's the way Reuben was. As the eldest, he had the opportunity to lead, but he was weak. He could have stopped his brothers from selling Joseph, but he didn't. He failed to act. Jacob tells him his tribe will never excel. And history demonstrates that that's exactly the truth. His tribe is never... The only time his tribe is mentioned in Scripture is when it's being listed with the other tribes of Israel, you see. There's never a prophet, a judge, a ruler, a military leader, or an important person that's named in Scripture that ever comes out of the tribe of Reuben. When Deborah and Barak went to war, and the tribe of Reuben said, we'll be there. But when the battle started, the tribe of Reuben was nowhere to be seen. How much like water Reuben was. Why such a harsh prophecy against Reuben? Folks, it's because of unconfessed sin. He never confessed his sin to God. He never sought reconciliation with him. He never confessed it to Jacob. Never asked for reconciliation to Jacob. His unconfessed sin cost him his birthright. He didn't get the inheritance as the firstborn. It cost his descendants. It cost him the respect and blessing of his father. It was a high price to pay for committing a sin and then keeping it a secret and thinking that you've gotten away with it. Our Father knows what we, when we have sinned. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. When we sin, our Father knows what we have done. When we sin, our Father waits for our confession. When we sin, he sits yearning for our confession. And one day, every child of God will stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will answer for how we've lived for the Lord Jesus. Many will see their entire life's work perish because of unconfessed sin that we never got right. Jacob then addresses his other sons, or a couple of the others, in verse 5 of chapter 49 of Genesis. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For there, in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a well. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce. It was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So what's he say? Jacob says, he calls attention to Simeon and Levi, and he accuses them of being filled with anger, cruelty, and hate. And that causes them to impulsively act in violence and not restrain themselves at all. And the problem is, their sin, they're quite proud of. They don't hide it. They're not like Reuben. They're not going to hide their sin. We did this, and we're real glad about that. We don't care what people know. These men were angry, self-willed, and they sought revenge. And as they did as they pleased, without regard of who it impacted and how it would impact their reputation. Unlike Reuben, they didn't try to hide it. We saw their anger in one situation. We could name others in their history as well, but one situation. Now, Dinah, their sister, was raped, and the young man wanted to marry her. Now, the whole situation was wrong. They had a right to be upset with that. But my, how they handled it, folks. How many times I've seen somebody who had a justified complaint But they handled it in such a poor manner that they became as guilty as the initiating party. That's the way violence comes. And that's the way relationships are totally destroyed. When something happens and we respond in a manner that's over the top. They did. Make a long story short, they said, sure, you can marry her, but all the men of Shechem have to be circumcised. So they waited till the third day after circumcision, when they were the most disabled, and then Simeon and Levi attacked and killed every one of them, and took the families as their slaves, and took their wealth. That's a bit overkill, folks, for the sin of one man in that family. And it was their hatred and anger that did it. The offense was never confessed. Their sin cost them and their descendants. Simeon became the smallest tribe in Israel. Simeon was omitted from Moses' blessings on Israel. The tribe of Simeon had to share some of its territory with the tribe of Judah in Joshua 19:1, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. Levi was given no inheritance at all. Now, Levi was given a little, because there was some repentance there at times with Levi. God said, I'll make you the priestly tribe. You won't have an inheritance, but I'll give you 58 cities in the land of Canaan, you see. So, this idea that we sin in anger and all of that, hey, that carries on today. We still have problems with that today. You watch the news, you see it every night. Sins of Levi and Simeon cost them dearly. Their sins cost their children dearly. D.L. Moody was preaching to a large crowd, and he got into the sermon, and about halfway through the sermon, a man in the balcony jumped up, and he shouted out real loud, and there were thousands there, and he shouted out real loud, "Don't believe a word of it!" And it had to be God, because D.L. Moody had no idea who the man was. But he assumed he's talking about the Word of God. He didn't believe the Word of God. And the man no more than finished what he was saying than D.L. Moody immediately looked up at him and he quoted a verse. He said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And the man shouted his denial, and D.L. Moody quickly quoted that verse. And D.L. Moody had a booming voice that would go out. And when he quoted that verse, thousands of people became that silent right there. He didn't know why that had such an effect on the audience until afterwards. And he asked somebody, "Why in the world did they react that way?" And the man said, "You didn't know who you were talking to. That man owns the saloon in town. He's been a drunkard all his life. He has 6 children, and all of them have been drunkards all their life." Let me tell you something, folks. Children of drunks, more often than not, become drunks. You say, well, they rebel against it. No, usually they follow mom and dad. Children of drug addicts generally become drug addicts. Children of abusers, spouse abusers, generally abuse the spouse. Even if they escape repeating that, all of the drinking and all of the drug abuse and all of the abuse in the home has an emotional and a psychological impact on them. And they will battle that the rest of their life. The greatest thing that a parent can give the child is an example of a self-controlled life under the Spirit of God. That's the kind of an example we have to give. The fruit isn't going to fall far from the tree, folks. The best gift we can give them is a life controlled by the Spirit of God. And then Jacob addresses a son who confessed sin. We had a son who refused to confess, refused to be reconciled. We had 2 sons that operated in the impulses of their flesh. Whatever they wanted to do, they did it. Whether it was sex, whether it was violence, whether it was dishonesty, whatever it was, that's the way they responded. Now we have a son who confessed his sin. In chapter 49, verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The throne, in other words, all right? Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto his vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. In other words, here's some mixed blessings. But he said, Judah, you're going to experience some great things. I think after what he had said to Simeon and to Levi and to Reuben, if I had been Reuben or Judah, I'd have been standing there shaking in my boots thinking, What's going to happen to me? Because if you remember correctly, Judah was kind of one of the leaders. He said he was really more leader than any others except for Joseph, you see. And Reuben had said, well, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. And that's what they did. That was Reuben's idea. But the time came when they're in Egypt. And of course, Judah did a lot of things. He married unbelieving idolatrous wives. He raised two sons that were so wicked that God killed them, we're told in Scripture. Judah was a man that was much controlled by his flesh up to that point. He sought harlots out, even guilty of incest with his daughter-in-law, you see. With all this wickedness in his history, we still have blessings for Judah. There's no mention of his sins. There was no word about his failures. There was only blessings, hope, and promises. So we look at the great things that Jacob promised to Judah. He's going to accomplish great things and be praised among his brethren. Judah would be leading them in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 10, verse 14. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah. Conqueror. Courageous, all of that.
Welcome to this Words of Life radio broadcast coming to you from the auditorium of Arlington Baptist Church in Bryson City, North Carolina. Before Pastor Spencer comes with today's message, let me invite you to worship with Arlington Baptist Church. They're located on Hughes Branch Road in Bryson City. Just turn onto Hughes Branch Road at the Ingle Store on Route 19 and go half a mile. The church will be on your right. Join them for Sunday school at 10 a.m. and the morning worship service at 11. Now let's join Dr. Spencer for today's message from God's Word.